Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Royal Oak, Michigan, and earned a BA, a JD, and an MBA from the University of Michigan. He held a number of senior leadership positions with the Detroit Lions for 20 years and was its president from 2008 through 2015. Since 2016, he's been the CEO of Shinola Detroit LLC, which specializes in watches, bicycles, leather goods. His name, Tom Lawan Jr., and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Tom Lawan Jr., the CEO of Shinola Detroit LLC. Tom, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thanks, Jack. It's great to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Sure. I was privileged and blessed to grow up here in Detroit, in the Detroit area. Spent a lot of time in Detroit growing up. Was born and raised not too far from where I live today in Royal Oak, but spent an awful lot of time downtown growing up in the 70s and the 80s. Going to the First National Building where my dad worked. Going to Tiger games downtown. Going to visit my grandfather who was a judge for many years downtown Detroit. So privileged to grow up here and blessed to have some wonderful parents and grandparents who had been Detroiters for a long time.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Dad, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom?
Well, I continue to learn from them on a daily basis. I don't know if I can point to any one thing from either one of them, but both of them have set a tremendous example about how you give back to a community, how you become part of something bigger than yourself, and they have both been selfless throughout their careers in their own ways, both as parents and in our personal lives, but also in the kinds of things that they've done in public life to be public servants in their own ways. And even with my dad in the private sector for many years as an attorney, was always looking at ways to give back, has had a long career in politics, then finally retired some 5 or 6 years ago, and was actually going back to art school, of all things, and at the College for Creative Studies, learning how to paint, when he then engaged with then-candidate Mike Duggan, who was running for mayor, and now he's been serving in Mayor Duggan's administration for the last few years. So always finding ways to give back to their family and give back to the community, and they've been great examples for me throughout my life.
Tom, you say you've been blessed with great parents. God has blessed you with great experiences, and God has blessed you that you've worked for and with some fabulous human beings. And when you were at U of M, you worked for a football coach by the name of Bo Schembechler.
I sure did. It was a special relationship that I was incredibly blessed to have over the years that I knew Coach Schembechler from a young freshman at the University of Michigan back in the late 80s. Then throughout the balance of his life, and stayed in touch over the years and really developed a friendship. And he was a mentor to me like he has been to so many hundreds of other men in particular who either played football or had a chance to work for him in various capacities in the football operations there. And I started as the guy picking up towels in the corner, running to get lunch for the coaches and doing whatever it took. I'll never forget. I started there as I said in the late 80s. The first opportunity I had to meet Coach Schembechler, I was shaking in my boots as a young 18-year-old freshman. And when I was introduced to him, he turned around and said, "What school did you go to?" And I told him Royal Oak Shrine. He said, "Ah, nothing worth anything's come out of Relic Shrine since John Wangler, the famous quarterback. And he turned back around, and that was it. That was my exposure to Coach Jim Beckler. And it was, but having the chance to be around him and learn so many things from him about how you lead people, how you stay focused on various tasks at hand, and how you really create a team environment was really special.
Let's go back to January 1st, 1990, the Rose Bowl, U of M versus USC, and it's Bo's last game as a coach, and you're on the sideline, Lamont.
I was there.
Were you dressed?
In shorts and a T-shirt, I think. But the I do recall there was actually an opportunity where we had to try and temper Coach Embeckler's enthusiasm for going onto the field to have a debate with the officials, and we were gently coaxing him back to the sideline when he turned at us and not so subtly suggested that he was not prepared to go back to the sideline. And that picture was on the front page of the LA Times sports section the following day. So it encapsulated the memory of so many great times that we had. Unfortunately, not so many great bowl victories, although I was part of the group that was there for his last bowl victory the year prior in Pasadena. So special times and special memories all across the board for him.
Speaking of special times, in 1993, you worked in the White House in the counsel's office for presidential personnel.
I did. Again, another one of those tremendously fortunate and blessed experiences that I had a chance to work in President Clinton's White House early in his tenure. I actually had the opportunity to meet him when he was governor of Arkansas, and then Governor Blanchard was hosting all of the Democratic governors up on Mackinac Island. And as a young staff person, I had to host one of the young governors from the state of Arkansas, and got a chance to meet Bill Clinton and his wife Hillary at the time, and got to know them a little bit during those couple of weeks on Mackinac Island, and then had an opportunity, as you said, to spend a little time in the White House in the old Executive Office Building doing some work on some of his appointees early in his administration. Got a chance to meet some really special people, including President Clinton during those months that I was there. And it was very interesting to see how things worked as an administration was coming into formation. And then again, an individual who's incredibly talented in President Clinton, and somebody that I've had a chance to then interact with at various points in time throughout the last several years, and he is remarkable in his recall, and is remarkable in his ability to engage with people, and I feel fortunate to have had that experience.
We're talking to Tom Lawan, and speaking of remarkable, when we come back, we're going to ask him about the remarkable chapter in his life with the Detroit Lions. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Tom Lawan Jr., who from 1995 through 2015, 20 years, you held a number of senior leadership positions with the Detroit Lions. How did you ever get hired by the Lions?
Well, it was something where I had a great opportunity to meet Bill Ford back in 1995, as you said, and he and I had struck up a conversation one day, and he shared with me some of the vision he had for the future of the franchise, and specifically a big idea that he had about trying to move the franchise back downtown from Pontiac, and looking at being a part of his family's continuing legacy at what they've done for this city. And that was just a fascinating opportunity, the beginning for me of a real fortunate chapter and the development of a not only a mentor in Bill Ford, but also a dear friend.
His dad, the late, great William Clay Ford. Everybody that's played for the Lions, been involved, loves the man. Talk about William Clay Ford.
Well, he was a very special person. He was very passionate about three things, really. His family, four things. His family, the city of Detroit, obviously Ford Motor Company and the Detroit Lions. And, you know, Mr. Ford was not somebody who sought the headlines. He was never was a grandstander. He was very focused on his love for each of those four things. And he really, above all else, wanted to bring a winning football team to the fans of the city of Detroit. And unfortunately, we never, during his lifetime, were able to accomplish the ultimate goal of bringing the Lombardi Trophy back home. But he was a very special guy who taught me a lot about what it meant to be genuine and to be true to yourself.
Tom, for 20 plus years, you've been downtown every day. And you watched that city when Dick Cheney could hunt there for a week and not hurt anybody, and this unbelievable rebirth of downtown, Midtown, now New Center. One of the huge pieces was Ford Field. Talk about the rebirth.
Well, just having been able to watch all of the activity that's been going on here in Detroit for, as you said, the last 20 years, but even in more specifically the last 10 to 15 years, with the phenomenal civic leaders, both public and private sector leaders, who have done so much, from a Roger Penske to Chris Illich and his family, to obviously Dan Gilbert now, and to now be a part of an organization like Shinola that's trying to make its mark in doing a little bit along that landscape. It really has been a unique experience, not just for me, but more particularly for the country, as the example that we're setting for a public sector and private sector partnership that I think is unlike anything we've seen in our country in a long, long time, if ever.
One story, if you will, about Dan Gilbert, please.
Well, Dan is a force of nature in so many different ways. His passion for the city, for the people who are part of his organization, the many thousands of people, and for his refusal to see a barrier and see right around that to an opportunity. And it's that force of nature that's been so catalytic for all of the activities that we see around the city, and now in the role that I'm in, having a chance to be a part of a partnership that between Shinola and Dan Gilbert's Bedrock organization in developing the Shinola Hotel, the chance to see that on a firsthand basis, Dan's passion for the city, passion for redefining our downtown landscape, but also the entire landscape of the city and his activities in the neighborhoods is really pretty special.
The Illich family.
The Illich family is remarkable in so many ways. Talk about leadership. They were in Detroit, investing in Detroit at a time that nobody else was. And what Mr. and Mrs. Illich did with the Fox Theater and putting a stake downtown when Mr. Illich bought the Red Wings and the Tigers, and then they were obviously the driving force behind Comerica Park, and then the great partners that we were fortunate to have during my time at the Lions in developing those two stadiums next to each other, along with then-Mayor Archer and then County Executive McNamara and his top deputy, Mike Duggan, all of whom really started that groundwork for the public-private partnership that's proven so beneficial over these last 15 years in the city.
Roger Penske and the shovel story, please.
Well, Roger Penske is probably one of the most unique people that I've had a privilege to get to know, there probably is no better example of a real true leader in every sense of that word. And no matter how you want to define it, you can look up and whatever the definition, you'll see a picture of Roger Penske there. And there's no secret why they call him the captain. And the story that you're referring to was when I had the opportunity to work with him as we were preparing to host the 2006 Super Bowl. And part of that host committee that Roger was chairman of, and the year prior to that, we had started the Motown Winter Blast, and I thought I'd get down there early for the opening of the Motown Winter Blast. In typical Roger Penske fashion, we were going to make sure that the year before everybody came down for the Super Bowl, we worked the kinks out and got this Motown Winter Blast up and running, and it was going to be kind of the social centerpiece around the activities for the Super Bowl. And it was an absolute blizzard. But I said, I'll get down there bright and early. I'll get down there by about 6:30 in the morning. The gates were going to open at 9, and the skies were dark and snowy. The streets were dark, and I pulled up, and there were not many people on the street. And out in the distance, in between the snowflakes, I could see a shadowy figure who looked like he was shoveling snow. And sure enough, as I walked up, it was Roger himself. And he turned, and without saying good morning, without saying how are you, without saying how was the trip in, he said, grab a shovel. And that's what I did. I grabbed a shovel, and we kept shoveling for the next 3 hours until the gates opened, and we continued to shovel while the gates were open to make sure that everybody who came downtown for that first Winter Blast had a good time.
All right, Tom Lewin. June 16th of a year ago, you get hired as the CEO of Shinola. What do you know about making watches?
I don't know much about making watches. And I would say that even a year later, I still don't know much about making watches. But I do know that we have hundreds of men and women, the vast majority of whom are right here in the city of Detroit, who are making those watches and doing so in a way that is world class and doing so in a way that is very unique. I have maybe the greatest privilege I've had to work alongside those men and women on a daily basis. And when I had a chance to visit the factory before I was hired on, I was walking through that factory asking folks what they were doing prior to their watchmaking days at Shinola, and I got a range of answers from people who weren't employed to those who were working at fast food restaurants, or we have a pizza delivery guy, we had somebody working as a part-time security guard, and now these folks are making, as I said, world-class timepieces that will stand up with anything that the third or fourth or fifth generation Swiss watchmaker is doing over in Switzerland.
When Tom started this thing, he must have went and hired 100 people from Geneva, Switzerland, who were experts in making these watches. True?
No, actually, Tom Kartsotis, our founder, didn't. He had a relationship with a Swiss watchmaker, Ronda AG is the partner, who came in and helped us set up the factory and helped train the original 9 men and women who were Detroiters. And they started that process in late 2011, early 2012, and took over a year to train those folks. So we were investing in the city, in this process, in this crazy idea of building a watch factory in Detroit, before we even knew we could do it, before we knew that the men and women here that could gain those skills to make those world-class timepieces. But Tom's level of investment in the people in the city and in the belief he had in this idea of building the watch factory paid off when in 2013 the first Runwell watches started coming off the assembly line, and then the magic started to happen with the support that so many men and women around the city of Detroit gave to Shinola by putting a watch on the wrist.
We're talking to Tom Lewin, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Tom Lawan Jr. If you want to learn more about Shinola, www.shinola.com. Tom, you got 640 employees in the building that your dad worked in for a while or took art lessons in.
Yeah.
And half of them are millennials. You hear all this talk about millennials don't want to work, you know, now and me. What's the key to getting millennials engaged?
Well, I think young people today are engaged. They're engaged in different ways than I was growing up or than maybe you were growing up, Jack. But they're the type of people who don't see barriers. They don't, you know, maybe when we were growing up, there was a cadence to how you came up through the ranks, and that you learned at the, you know, at the feet of a master when you were the apprentice, and you kind of worked your way up and waited your turn. These folks, for the most part, don't see that same delineation. You have so many young people who are out there creating their own brands on social media. They're creating their own companies. You have tremendous entrepreneurial spirit amongst 20 to 30 year old folks, and we have the benefit of working with a lot of those young men and women at Shinola who have a creative spirit. They have an entrepreneurial spirit, and they have a remarkable independent intelligence. And they are not afraid to dive right into a challenge, look for ways to solve it. They're also not afraid to fail, and that's an important characteristic, I think, in not only in our business but in any business and in any walk of life. You have to. We're all going to stumble at times, and we have to be not afraid to fail. Fail fast, and pick up and go forward.
The founder of Shinola is Tom Kartsotis. Tell us about Tom.
Well, Tom is a remarkable entrepreneur. He is somebody who has a great belief in his vision, which is really about not only creating things that others say aren't possible, like building a watch factory in Detroit, but also the idea of being able to create world-class manufacturing jobs. And what's easy is to let the quote-unquote natural state of things carry forward, that manufacturing continues to go overseas, that we become increasingly a plasticized, disposable society where everybody's getting the latest and greatest new thing that comes out every 6 months or a year. And instead, Tom said, let's go back to the roots of Detroit, a rich heritage of manufacturing. Let's bring world-class jobs back in an industry that had gone overseas in watchmaking, and let's do it in a way that is an analog brand in a digital world. And it's a tremendous credit to him that he had the that he was the driving force and continues to be the driving force behind that vision.
I've been blessed to walk through the campus a couple of times, and what struck me was that it's the same feeling that I get when I've walked through Focus Hope and or Children's Hospital of Michigan. It's a love fest. The people there love being there.
I would agree with that. There are... It's a sense of community. It is a sense of togetherness. You know, we have a sign right in the heart of our factory that says, "We are one," and we believe that. We're a group of men and women who are each day working together to accomplish something that none of us could do by ourselves, certainly, or even in small groups, that every one of our jobs is critically important, whether that's whether you're planning our inventory levels or you're building the watches or you're cutting the leather to sew into the beautiful straps and handbags, that we have to all work together to create this energy behind the brand, to continue to build it and continue to tell this story, and most importantly, continue to create world-class manufacturing jobs here in Detroit and hopefully someday around the rest of the country.
There was an article in Adweek from 2015, how Shinola went from shoe polish to the coolest brand in America. How did you do it?
Well, I think it's the authenticity. People believe in what we're doing, in the fact that we're creating world-class manufacturing jobs. And, you know, we took out an ad last year that said, of all the things that we make, the thing that we're most proud of is the jobs. And that's true. And it's about doing things together, not just making watches or leather, but doing things together as a community, celebrating the culture that we see developing across, not only across Detroit, but across the country, where more and more people want to know where their food's grown. And if they're going to invest their hard-earned dollars in watches or leather or a night out at a restaurant or some clothing, they want to know the story behind that. Where's it coming from? Who's making it? And the greatest comments that we get are the fact that we put little cards in our handbags that say it was sewn by, you know, in somebody's name, or the watch was built by somebody and they signed their name to it. Those are the things that resonate with our consumers, and those are the things they're telling us they love about the brand. So whether we're cool or not, we're trying to do it the right way.
Talking about this ad campaign, if you go down 75 right before Woodward, there's this Park Hotel. And on the backside, you've got a 9-story sign. A couple months ago, it said, "Working together, the job big enough for all of us. Let's roll up our sleeves, Shinola, Detroit." Now, you've started to highlight great people throughout America.